It is 7:55 a.m. on Monday, April 13th, 2020. My name is Tim Bjornstedt, and this is Philosophy at Echo High School, Trimester 3. Let's get the business out of the way right up front. First of all, I will have office hours every day from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m., as I said, every day. If you cannot meet with me during those times, either using the Zoom video chat software or through other means, then please send me an email because I am always available by appointment, unless it's 3 a.m. and I'm sleeping. But seriously, reach out. The number one thing that we are looking to do this week is to reestablish contact with you and to get the ball rolling and getting these technologies up and running, figuring out how we can use them to our advantage. I am going to be recording MP3 files, audio files, every week, breaking down some of the issues that we are going to be tackling and setting up assignments. So every Monday, the way this will work is that I will post the tasks for the week. All tasks are designed to last no longer than 30 minutes. So that is an expected 30 minutes a day of work and direct engagement. We are going to be primarily using the Google Classroom and the Zoom video chat or video conference software. I've used it in several staff meetings so far, and I think it's pretty cool. And as long as we have a stable internet connection and the right equipment, this should work fairly well. That said, let's not get frustrated if anything catches us off guard. Just reach out to us if you're having any issues whatsoever, whether it is with an internet connection or you need another device. All right, we are going to be spending this term reading, listening, thinking, writing, communicating. Why? Well, because that's what philosophy does. And that begs the next question. What is philosophy? That's one of those words that is very common in our society, but very few people seem to know how to put in words or attach a definition to what it is. And we will answer that question next week, not this week. This week, we are going to get the ball rolling by practicing philosophy without breaking it apart definitionally. All right. So in the Google Classroom, you will see that there are a few tasks that I am asking you to tackle this week. If you're having any issues getting into the Google Classroom, then I'm guessing you're not listening to this MP3. So if you're signed up for the class and you can't get in, please send an email to bjornstedt_t@4j.lane.edu. All right. So the first assignment for the week is to listen to this MP3. Click submit in the Google Classroom once you have listened all the way through. And then send me an email letting me know that you have heard the message and that you are ready to proceed. If you have any questions at all, schedule a time to meet with me during office hours or send me that email. Okay, so that's it. First task, listen to this message. The second thing that we are going to be doing this week is we are going to read excerpts from two philosophers, one very ancient and the other not so ancient, but also departed, meaning that which they share comes from the past and has been preserved up to this point. And boy, that we are so lucky that we hang on to some of these things. To me, it's almost a form of time travel, where even though you can't sit in front of those human beings who did a lot of thinking while they were here, you can still confront their thoughts and their hard work, all of the effort that they put in to thinking about all of these things. But I'm going to ask you to read excerpts as assignment two. It probably will, since they are short but dense in terms of meaning and in terms of that which they convey. I'm only going to ask you for assignment two to read those two short pieces. And then for assignment three, I'm going to ask you to write a response to those things. Here's the deal. To begin, philosophy is always conversational. Philosophy is a conversation with the self, with being itself, with others. And I know that language will probably give some of you a headache, but in order to practice philosophy, you're going to have to pause and at every step of the way, dissect what each of these things mean. A conversation with the self? Does that mean I'm crazy if I'm talking to myself? No, it doesn't. I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things to do is to mow the lawn. And I miss the days when I lived on a big farm and I could ride my riding lawnmower, mow a couple of acres of grass with headphones on and be listening to a podcast, a radio show, music, whatever. Or sometimes I would just have the noise cancelers on and all I was engaging with were the ideas that were in my head. What's going on in life right now? What do I need to meditate upon? Anyway. So that said, to begin, philosophy is always a conversation with the self, with being itself, the context in which we exist, and with others. And I am asking you in this class to converse with voices long gone up front. The voices that are gone continue to converse by virtue of what they left behind. And we can converse with them as passive participants, almost as though when we are engaging those narratives, it is like we are traveling through time and we are sitting in the room with all of these characters that came before. And the words on the page come to life again if we engage them and if we engage those characters. The words on the page do not change in terms of what they said and what has been arrested in time, arrested in the philosophical work. But what can change as a result of that engagement with voices past is a change in our thinking, realizations, epiphanies. We are lucky to be alive, and we are a part of a present unfolding of being. Their story from the past is done. Their story arc has come to a complete arc. That said, some of the things that they said back then do have bearing on what we are currently experiencing. So, I am going to be asking you questions, and as a result, I am going to expect responses that require time, thought, and marination. Marination? What do I mean? What is marination? This gets to the next part of philosophy. We all have to be careful with our words, and we all have to very carefully define our terms, because philosophy is all about holding ideas and arguments and people to a full account. We need to hold them accountable for being as airtight and solid as possible. If somebody is arguing a position and they are ignorant about many issues that pertain to that issue, then more than likely they are going to be off base in several ways. So that said, what do I mean when I'm asking you to marinate in an idea? Well, let's first consult Google. Let's first consult the internet. What is the definition of marination? Marination is the process of soaking foods in a seasoned, often acidic liquid before cooking. The origin of the word alludes to the use of brine, aquamarina, in the pickling process, which led to the technique of adding flavor by immersion in liquid. Does that make anybody else hungry? Anyway, that came from Wikipedia, which we're going to talk about Wikipedia. In some ways, I think that that site has incredible potential. I use it all the time. But in terms of an end-all, be-all container or vessel for collected knowledge, there are issues with it. But that said, that definition right there shows that it does indeed have something to offer. But what does marination have to do with philosophy? Well, just as a good marinated food is going to need to soak in that delicious seasoned liquid before cooking, a philosopher has to marinate in the idea being unpacked. And that requires time and authentic engagement. I once discovered a teacher who gave an account of something called throwaway assignments. She said that a throwaway assignment is an assignment that a student doesn't want to do, and they don't understand why they have to do it, but they still do it, probably because they wanted to pass the course, and then they turn said assignment into the instructor, and the instructor doesn't want to read it, they don't want to engage with it, they give it minimal feedback, and then they hand it back to the student, and the student doesn't care enough to engage with the feedback, and they throw it straight in the trash. I do not want a single thing that we do in this class to be throwaway. I want to engage questions that impact all of us, and I want it to be an authentic back-and-forth dialogue, not only between student and teacher, or student, teacher, and material, or, you know, the whole group coming together to discuss these things. I want this to be a fun, deep, meaningful engagement. So, the first two things that I am going to ask you to bask in, to spend time with, to really be thinking, whether you like to think while you're mowing the lawn or not, as I do, is I am going to give you two passages to read. And I really just for assignment two, all I want you to do is read and think. You don't have to write a thing in response. For some of you, it might be helpful if you have access to a printer. I wish I could give some physical copies of these things. But if it's helpful for you to be able to read from paper and to use a highlighter or a marked text, let's find a way to enable you to do that. But, you know, it's not required or necessary for this course. Then, once you have marinated in those two written excerpts for 24 hours or so, assignment three is writing a response to those excerpts. What do they mean? What are the authors trying to say? Who wrote them? And in this case, I really hope that you enjoy. A professor once told me that philosophy is to be alone in a room, seeking affirmation and pushback through companionship, through companionship. And that, you know, to sit in the room thinking about these things, there's got to be some kind of a purpose behind it. Some people say that philosophy is the search for truth, you know, the attempt to arrest knowledge. But what are those things even? What is purpose? What is truth? What is knowledge? What are these things? So we are going to spend some time after you have read those excerpts and sent me responses to them, unpacking what they mean. We're going to spend some time at the end of the week unpacking some of those terms and setting ourselves up for a really special opening in history. Here's what I mean by that. I would not do anything to do this, but I would give a lot to be able to hear Socrates, to be able to go back in time 2,400 years to Athens, Greece, and to just capture a glimpse, even though I don't speak fluent Greek, to capture a glimpse of those humans in their actual lives, doing their thing, to see what they look like, how they dressed, what it was like when they're gathering around and talking. Very, very powerful stuff. That said, we can't do that. The voice of Socrates is lost to us forever. And even in the works that have survived more than two millennia that have landed with us, we still don't know, based on Plato's account versus other accounts that have survived, we get very different pictures of this person. And that's because the writers who characterized him were using him for their own purposes and to communicate their own ideas. Now, that said, when I say that we are living at a time where a door is opening to us, what I mean is that there are some incredible philosophers who were alive roughly 100 to 150 years ago, and they came into being when technology allowed for their voices to be preserved. One such voice is a man. I'm not going to name him yet, but he was born. He's an American philosopher, probably my favorite contemporary philosopher. But he was born in 1895, if I recall correctly. I don't have my notes in front of me. And he passed away in 1990. And that said, he lived through some incredible historical events and periods and wrote prolifically throughout his life. He also had enough notoriety during his lifetime and enough fame that people would ask him to give lectures. And since he was alive in the 20th century, he had access to recording equipment. And there are many of his lectures and speeches that have survived, and we have captured his voice. So at the end of this week, for the assignment after the reading of the excerpts and writing your first responses, I'm going to ask you to break apart it's roughly 50-minute lecture/speech from this incredible thinker. I'm going to ask you to simply listen to it. And as you listen, if you are wise in terms of wanting a deep, authentic engagement with what this voice from the past is saying, I would suggest that you have a note-taking device in front of you, digital or analog, doesn't matter. Pen and paper is still my preferred way of doing this. But as you are listening to this very real voice who is sending a message to us, jot down some notes about what he is saying that stands out to you. Write down terms that you don't understand. Even if you can't, I know how hard it is to transcribe what somebody is saying in a speech. Even if you can't necessarily write down word for word what he is saying at a point, if he's saying something that's powerful, jot down in your notes the timestamp. So if he says something at 18 minutes and 30 seconds that is incredible, write down 18 minutes and 30 seconds and go back to it later. When we later in the week communicate with one another, either in a group discussion or one-on-one, I'm going to ask you what jumped out at you from that lecture. And I want you to be able to pinpoint these things so that potentially, if we need to, we could even go back and listen to what he said at that timestamp and unpack it together. All right. With that said, let me recap, and then I'm going to let you go because we're pushing up into 20 minutes here, and I only have 30 minutes a day with you. This week, the first task is to listen to this message to get a sense of what you're in for. The second is to read two written excerpts, and I promise you, if you put all of the text together, it doesn't even make for one full typed page. I'm going to ask you to read those two excerpts and marinate in them. Thirdly, I'm going to ask you to respond to the excerpts and to tell me what you think is going on there, what you think these two are saying, whether you agree or disagree, what's confusing, what is made clear. And then at the end of the week, I'm going to ask you to listen to a philosopher speaking for under an hour. Cut the speech in half if you need. Maybe do a little bit on Thursday and the rest of it on Friday. Whatever is best for you. I am really looking forward to this journey. And I want to close by saying that this class has the potential to be very special. I do not have a degree in literature or composition. I have a degree in philosophy. And I believe that with what the world is going through right now, that philosophy is something that could offer a compelling way to think about what it means to be human in the 21st century for the younger generation. I'm not going to assign you arbitrary novels just because they have been assigned for however long, for however many generations. It's time to think outside of the box, and it is time to ask why we do the things that we do, and to ponder some of the big, deep ideas that will help us navigate through the future. You are the future, and I'm excited to join this conversation with you. All right, so finally, it is my hope that at the end of the week, that as many of us as possible can get together for a class discussion where we can break these things apart, the two writing excerpts and the recorded lecture. And in that group discussion, I also hope to be able to set the stage for the next week. I'm going to reveal the syllabus and the scope and sequence for the rest of the course on Monday after we have already gone through some of this stuff. And then we're on our way, and we will have roughly 2 months together where we can unpack some pretty cool stuff, if you ask me. If you have any questions, please send me an email. The other thing is, just so I can have a sense of who has done what, whenever you are done with the tasks in Google Classroom, as you go, please click the submit button so that I can log in and see where we are. Again, at the end of the week, let's get together and have our first discussion. If you can't make the discussion, then let's set up a time for us to have one-to-one communication. My name is Tim. I'm looking forward to this. Take it easy. Stay safe.